Well, I'd like to keep it short today because we're already taking a long time. But have you noticed the difference when you read the Gospels, how each Gospel reads differently? If you read the book of the Gospel of Mark, and that's the Gospel I've done more work on, I mean, I'm even doing some sort of small commentary on it this time. It's very easy to translate. It's very easy to understand. But if you read the Gospel of John, it's even the Greek is even easier. It's a lot simpler. But the Jesus in John is very confusing. The way he talks, the way he portrays. The Jesus in Mark, he's a Jesus who's always hands-on Jesus. He's always moving. He's always moving. Then, so you always hear that. And we believe that that's the case because Mark, according to Papias, this is in the year 120, 110 in our era, Papias said that Mark wrote down everything that Peter told him. And what sort of work did Peter do? Who can remember? Fishermen. And how are fishermen? The fishermen are very practical. They're hands-on. They don't sit back and see, well, let's see how we're going to do this. No, they just move very fast. So that's why you see a fast-moving Jesus. But in John is writing his gospel, we believe, when he is in his older years. So he takes his time. He has to remember. And of course, the Holy Spirit inspired him. There are many interesting things in John. The Son of God in John is monogenes, huios monogenes, which is the only Son of God. And then you ask yourself, but in the Old Testament it says that there are many sons of God. But that little word, monogenes, the only Son of God, puts Jesus in a total different set. He's the only one in kind. There's no other son like Jesus. No one. In the Old Testament, we see the sons of God in chapter 6 of Genesis. And then they come up again in the book of Job. And remember who comes along with the sons of God? Who's coming along with them? Yeah? Yeah, you answered already, but I want, who else? Who comes along with the sons of God in Job? Satan. Satan comes along with the sons of God. And then you find, again, that word sons of God or holy ones in Daniel. And John picks on all of this. But he also picks on certain themes. Wells. Has anybody here gone to the well and take water out of it? Has anybody has that experience? Anybody? Tim, you have, yeah? And anybody else? Go to the well? Yes, Sarah, I thought you do. I used to do, and you know what I did? For Christmas, I was a naughty boy. They used to, in my country for Christmas and New Year's, we do firecrackers, like in China. So I had a mortar this big. Maybe it was smaller because I was smaller. Everything, you know, when you grow up, you think it was bigger, but no. So I took a big mortar and threw it in the well and exploded. And for days, people were taking out pieces of cardboard and paper because, you know, it exploded. So, but water in the... I'm not going to tell you many other evil things that I did when I was a little kid. Once I push someone, I guess I don't know why, but I just push him. And he always tells me, why do you push me? I don't know. It's sin? That's my excuse. But anyway, so what happened was that sort of water is still good to drink. And you have to take care of it. You have to cover the well so nothing drops in it. It's amazing what can drop in a well. Even donkeys can drop in. I don't know what they do, but they go and they just drop in the well. So you cover it, and sometimes you also cover it for people, because even though there's some wells that are very there, you know, you have to, you can fall into them. But there's some wells, that's what they make, like a little thing around it, so people know that they're not supposed to walk into it. But the water is not as good as living water. And let me give you an example. I'm sure you do the same or something similar. You have a bottle at work, and you usually change the water every day. Because in our minds, once it's there, like one day, it doesn't taste as good as it did yesterday. Even though you can still drink it, you're not going to get sick, but it doesn't taste good. The same with the well water. What you want is living water, water that is always moving. So those of us also who have lived near a stream, you go, I don't know, here in Australia, yeah, actually, the Murray River sometimes is good. But you can go to the stream, get some water, and it's fresh. I remember in the USA, clear water, and you just go and drink it. And also here in Australia, you can do it. The sediment is under it, not on top of it, but it looks brown sometimes, but it's not. But when you go and you take it out, it's clean water. So we rather have clean water, living water. This is Middle East people who don't have much rain, who suffer, who are always fighting for water. I mean, the next big war they think they're going to have in Palestine or Israel is going to be about water, because the Jordanians want water, the Israelis want water, the people from Lebanon want water, everybody wants water. So Jesus comes to this place, to the town of Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And this is, again, I've been learning a lot about Bible. You know from where? Not from a big, very big commentary, but from reading to my daughter Maria every night Bible stories. I was reading to her Jacob and Esau the other night, and how each wanted to please their father. You know, Esau was the hunter, while Jacob tended the sheep. And then I started thinking, where have I heard this story before? Genesis, it's still in Genesis. Genesis 3 and 4. The story of Cain and Abel. They were two brothers, and two of them brought their offering to God. But one was rejected and one was accepted. And then you find the same pattern again in the story of Esau and Jacob. And then preparing for today, when I saw Jacob's well, what happened in Jacob's well? If you read chapter Genesis 24, I'm just gonna tell you. Genesis 24, this is Isaac's wife. You know, Isaac never met his wife before he got married. And I was telling Natalie about that, my daughter. What if you don't know? I'll just tell you, you know, there's this guy who has a lot of money, who is a very good doctor or surgeon, and I want you to get married to him. And my daughter will say, yes, Dad, I will. I don't think your daughter will. I don't know if you can convince your daughter that you're not going to see him before. You don't know where you don't know who he looks like. All you have to do is trust me. I'm your dad. I know best for you. I don't think daughters would like that today. So Natalie just said, no way. So what's happening? So Abraham wanted Isaac, his son, to get married. And what he didn't tell Isaac, go and get a wife. No, he sent one of the servants very far, and the servant came to a well. And the servant said, Lord, if you have blessed my search and you have blessed my master, please show me the woman that's going to be the wife of my master's son. And the one who gives water to me and my camels, that's the one. A camel drinks a lot of water, so you have to draw a lot of water out of the well, you know. So you're working there. So that's the one. That's the lucky one. And then we have the other. Again, it happens in Jacob's well. What happened? Jacob comes to Midian, and he fights off the people, or he helps the people. Let's read Genesis 29. He helps, of course, because I know Moses fights off people. There, Jacob asked the shepherds, my brothers, where are you from? We're from Haran, they replied. He said to them, do you know Laban, Nahor's grandson? Yes, we know him, they answered. Then Jacob asked them, is he well? Yes, he is, they said. And there comes his daughters, Rachel, with the sheep. Look, he said, the sun is still not high. It is not the time for the flocks to be gathered. Water the sheep and take them back to pasture. We can, they replied, until all the flocks are gathered and the stone has been rolled away from the mouth of the well. Then we will water the sheep. While he was still talking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherd. When Jacob saw Rachel's daughter of his uncle Laban, and Laban's sheep, he went over and rolled the stone away from the mouth of the well and watered his uncle's sheep. I don't know how beautiful she was, because Jacob by himself rolled off the big stone from the well. I don't know, when I was younger, yeah, I had to walk and walk and walk just to see my wife. I don't know where, I don't like walking. But when I was young, I wanted to see my wife, so I used to walk. So Jacob is the same. He got this supernatural strength and rolled the stone away, and they watered the sheep. So again, a dwell. And then if you go to Exodus 2, this is very short. This is after Moses killed the Egyptian. When Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses, but Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian, where he sat down by a well. Now a priest of Midian had seven daughters. Again, daughters, 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 daughters. I don't know. We fathers who have married daughters, we should start sending maybe our daughters to wells so they can find good husbands. And they came to draw water and fill the troughs to water their father's flock. Some shepherds came along and drove them away. But Moses got up and came to the rescue and watered the flock. And then we come to Jesus. Somebody who also comes to well, who's also thirsty and asks for water. Would you give me a drink? Couldn't Jesus do it? Or was he just respecting the custom? I think it's the second one. The Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. And we know, if you know, I'm going to just tell you shortly. Samaritans are an interbreed of Jews and pagans in the north of today Israel. So when the Jews were taken captives in 537 to Babylon, when the Judeans, the one in the south, were taken captives, they left some people and they intermingled with the locals and the people who came to live also in Judea, in Israel at the time. And they still kept their religion, but they changed it a lot. The Samaritans today, they're like maybe like 10,000 Samaritans still. They only believe in the five books of Moses, in the Pentateuch. They don't believe in the rest. And they have they still worship at Mount Gerizim. They still have their own, their big. It's nice to see, because I've seen the pictures. They put a lot of sheep and goats, and they have lots of barbecue there. So they're still around, and they still don't get along with the Jews. Yeah, it's a lot of barbecue. I mean, it's amazing. Huh? They don't talk because they don't see them as pure Jews. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, who it is that asked you to drink, you have asked him and he would have given you living water." So Jesus is not offering water from a well. Jesus is offering a better type of water. And I don't know if, I mean, those who drink bottled water, there's some bottled water that tastes, I don't know, different. I don't know if better, because everybody has a different taste, but different. And you prefer one to another one. "So, sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it in himself and also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them, I will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." To eternal life. But the woman, what did the woman say? The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." Eternal life. Jesus is offering eternal life. But the woman only hears that she's not going to have to get up every day to get water. And Sarah, isn't it tiring to go every day in the sun, every day if it rains, every day if you feel sick, because you need water every day? And I know this because sometimes we had our water will go out in El Salvador, and for months or for weeks, my mom would send me to grab water somewhere else. A pipe would come, a truck, and I have to walk, and everybody has to stand there, and then I have to drink, I have to bring a 9-10-year-old boy, and my mom, you used to abuse me. but because if it was raining, I have to go. If it was hot, I have to go. If I was hungry, I have to go. So stopping going to the well was going to be better than do it every day. But that's what the Samaritan woman heard. She missed one point. Eternal life. This spring that will be. And I think sometimes the Samaritans, because they didn't read the rest of the Old Testament, that's why they didn't know about this. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to come here to draw water." He told her, "Go and call your husband and come back." Oh, this one, it gets bad, because "I have no husband," she replied. Remember what I told you about having to admit our sins? Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. In fact, the fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is true." How did this guy know? He's from outside. And remember, there's no Facebook at this time. So you cannot go into their into the profile and look. Okay, the relationship has a question mark or a heart or whatever. There's no Facebook. There's no Google you can Google someone. No. And distances, people who walk one day distance. If you work every day, you're not crazy. You're not going to go there every day. So news don't go as fast as today. "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you're a prophet. Our ancestors worship on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." And then Jesus says, woman, this is very important for us to, because this is very particular to this church. And I'll tell you why. Believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. See, again, we're superior than you. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet, and again, some people stop at there. Oh, see, salvation is from the Jews. Yet, the time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers that Father seeks. God is a Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. You remember we used to worship on this way? Church long time ago, and I used to like it because the big pulpit was there. Remember the big pulpit, and when you stand in the big pulpit, you feel big, you feel like important. Well, when we moved the church around, there were some people who were not happy because some people would say, and they pass away. So I wasn't the funeral, so I know. They said, no, you are wrong, Lewis. We should have moved that church because every church is supposed to look to the east. Have you heard that before? Every church is supposed to look to the east. And that's because, when we, in the Old Testament, when Solomon says, when we turn to pray to this temple, God will hear us. Actually, if you're looking... Yeah, we're looking to the east, the eastern suburbs, yeah? The eastern suburbs are on the other side. But if you go east, 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 you're going to get to the U.S. or to Hawaii. You have to look west on this side to look at Jerusalem. And I quoted this verse. You know, it doesn't matter if you're... It doesn't matter if you're in space. Because in space, there's no east, west, up and down. All you have to do is to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. But what does that mean? That whenever you open your mouth and pray, or you bend your knee and pray, you're trusting that God will hear you. Not because of you, but because he's merciful. Because he's there for us. The Samaritans had put their faith in a mountain. The Jews had put their faith in a temple, in a city. Jesus is telling everybody has the same, they can come to, this is what I want to say, the same, they're allowed to come to God's temple, to God's presence, doesn't matter where they are in the world. Doesn't matter who you are, if you're a Samaritan, or if you're a Jew, or if you're a Roman, or if you're a Greek, because there's no Greek, there's no Roman, there's no Scythian, there's no man or woman. All of us are one in Jesus Christ. The woman said, I know the Messiah called Christ is coming when he comes. He will explain everything to us. Then Jesus said, I am the one speaking to you. I am He. You know what he said there? I am who I am. Ego I me. And who's ego I me in the Old Testament? Who's I am who I am? God. I am who I am. I am. That's why when Jehovah's Witnesses and people, but Jesus never said he was God. he always used to say, before Abraham was, I am. I'm going to skip the last part because, yes, the disciples were amazed that he was talking to a woman and a Samaritan woman. But I love the last part. Many of the Samaritans from that town believe in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. 2 days. Samaritans and Jews don't even eat from with each other. They don't even share. You know, the closest thing that I can think of is the close brethren here in Australia. They don't eat with you. They don't spend any time with you. I consider them brothers and sisters. I used to work with them in Kerrang when I was in the country. But they said, Louis, sorry, we cannot eat with you because you're not part of our church. And I said, well, I believe that the Lord has cleaned you with his blood, and he has cleaned me with his blood. So he's clean. We are both clean by Jesus' blood. So I don't know why you want to make this distinction. We already have this issue in Galatians. You remember Galatians? The Jews not eating with the Gentiles? I don't know why you bring this up again. The only time that we're not allowed to eat with other people, according to 1 Corinthians, is when they are living sinful life and still calling themselves Christians. If you read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and then chapter 6, he talks about it. That's the only time. So, Jesus is staying with the people that Jews hated the most, the Samaritans. Who can remember another time when Samaritans are mentioned? There's a parable, remember? The good Samaritan, because he did something good. And how many coins he gave them, the Samaritan gave for the Jew? How many coins? Two. How many days Jesus stayed with them? Two. You see a pattern there? He didn't only stay one day. He wanted to know more, to know them more. And at the time, and when Jesus went up to heaven, what did he say? You shall preach this gospel where? In Jerusalem. And where else? What's the second place? Samaria. The Jews didn't want Samaria to know the Lord. For them, Samaria was going to be trash. But Jesus, no, I want to bring this word of life to Samaria and to the ends of the world. And see how this finishes. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves and we know that this man really is the Savior of Israel. No, the Savior of Samaria. No, the Savior of just the Middle Eastern people. No, the Savior of a particular political group. No, he's the Savior of the world, you and me. This is the Jesus that we have. One that he's willing to stay, to be thirsty, so he can start a conversation with you. He is willing to stay with people who other people despise because he is the Savior, not of a particular status group. And I'll finish with this. One day when I was going to see my grandfather in Footscray Hospital, and all of you, I mean, Jeff used to live in Footscray, so you know that there's a school, Catholic school in the back, and there's some little streets. So I went to park there. And I parked, and I saw this lady in a wheelchair, and I saw a lot of people just passing by, and she was trying to get up. It was a bit steep. I mean, it goes like this, and steep, and then goes like that. Very minute steepness. But for her, it was hard. So I passed. Everybody was passing. And I was going to pass her down too. So I parked the car and I got out and I went. She was here. This is a sin or something. She was here. So I parked the car. She was here. And I was getting out of here on this other door. And I went like this. Because I said, ah. And then when I started walking, I said, ah, no, I can't. I can't because I'm a Christian. But nobody knows I'm a Christian. Who cares? And all these thoughts were going in my mind. No, but I'm a pastor. And then I remember the Good Samaritan. I have to go back. And you know why I mean, most people didn't want to help? Because she was dirty. She was smelly. She was. And then I went back and I said, Can I help you? And you know, sometimes when you ask people for help, they said, yes, I need to get to the hospital. So at the beginning, I thought to myself, it's gonna be a breeze. Just gonna push. No, by the time we arrived to the hospital, I was very tired. But the thing is that I said to myself, this is the people that Jesus loves. Lord, please teach me to love the people that you love. And I'm telling you this as a testimony. And I can think of Laura in this case. She's a paramedic. She's going to have to deal with all type of people in her work. Smelly people, good-looking people, bad-looking people. Lord, please teach us to love because everybody needs Jesus. Amen? Everybody needs Jesus. Doesn't matter where they are, how they look, how they smell, even what they think of us. Everybody needs Jesus. And we have this message of eternal life for them. Let's not keep it to ourselves. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you, Lord, because you didn't skip the Samaritan woman. You tried to get her into conversation with you, and not only she came to your knowledge, but a whole town came to your knowledge, Lord. Lord, give us the strength, the discernment to learn how to reach those who don't know you. Yes, as we were rich once, Lord. When we were young, people said, no, young people don't care about God, but somebody talked to me and I did follow you, Lord. So teach us today, Lord, that no matter what we see, let us see with spiritual eyes, and let us see that everybody needs salvation in eternal life. This we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.